Support for SyncBook Radio comes from listeners like you. Consider helping to make independent productions like SyncBook Radio possible by becoming a donor. Your generous gift helps to keep these unique voices broadcasting and exploring. Details about how you can help can be found at thesyncbook.com/donate. Thanks.
This is the greatest advance in modern physics since the splitting of the atom.
A rare metal, molecularly unstable.
It's what they're made of.
Bring it up! All the way!
You guys have never seen a truck like this before.
Dad, you can't keep spending money on junk.
I don't think it's a truck at all. I think we just found a transformer.
I'm gonna ask you this once. Where is Optimus Prime?
After all we have done, humans are hunting us. But I fear we are all targets now.
What is that?
Who sent you here? Not war. It's human extinction.
Oh my God!
How many more of my kind must be sacrificed?
You gotta have faith, Prime. Maybe not in who we are, in who we can be.
We need a new army.
This morning I dreamed I was dialoguing with the devil. He went by the name Ben. I told him that I believed that there was no matrix of evil because all evil was either an illusion or an evolutionary corruption of Source. Source was pure and beyond good and evil. He smiled and his eyes turned inward, blackness extending beyond the event horizon of his eyelids. I opened my eyes, woke Andy up, and explained my argument. It was 4 a.m. He said my thoughts seemed sound. I agreed and then rolled over in a sleepy, confused haze and closed my eyes again. Ben was still waiting. He asked, "Are you sure that's what you believe?" And his face faded into shadow, and the shadow faded into the black behind my eyelids. Hello and good evening. I'm Douglas Bowles, and you're listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. You can find us online at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at Sync42 and at SyncBook. Today is the 29th day of July, and this is episode number 147. For the next month, Will and I are on vacation, but don't worry, there will be something fun to download every week. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and have our audio extras delivered to you automatically. But today, we're going to get dressed up and have ourselves a little trunk show. And maybe even go on a magical synchromisty tour. And we'll do so with a couture mistress, Misty Greer.
That's
Misty,
me.
Misty Greer is a fashion designer and costumer living in Vancouver, BC, where she created the trunk show Ready to Wear line. In 2009, a headpiece Misty created was gifted to and worn by Lady Gaga on her Monster Ball tour in Vancouver. Gaga stopped the show to thank the designer before performing her hit Speechless. a fashion icon's gracious approval gained Greer citywide recognition, and since then she's been catching the eyes and capturing the hearts of discerning underground glitterati ever since. Misty's signature style can be best described as rebellious, sexy, and reflexive due to her fetish for sequins and sparkle. And as a result of her overt burlesque sense of style, she has been Vancouver's go-to couture designer and costumer for some of the city's top-billed burlesque starlets, which has helped her to gain growing international attention. We ourselves are pleased to have found her and welcome her to the show. Hi, Misty. Or is it Synchro Misty?
Hi. That was the best intro ever. I don't know how to live up to that now.
I'm so glad you found us, because you found us at just the right time, because I think we've assembled a superhero team and we need uniforms or costumes or whatever we call them.
Oh my God, I would be honored. Are you kidding me? That would be amazing.
The 42-minute All-Stars.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to get on that.
But there's all these artists that have connected to us. And they do different, really, really cool, interesting things. And it just feels like we're forming a team to do something really fabulous.
Yes, I will take on that job, absolutely, 100%. Why not?
What do you think we're setting out to do here? We've got a wood carver, someone who projects visuals at rock shows. We've got a rock and roller, and we've got a costumer.
Well, sounds like it's going to be a rock and roll show. It has to be.
Quite possibly.
Put a show on for the people.
So then how did you find 42 Minutes?
Oh, man. Well, it was a long kind of winding path as these things go. But basically Twitter, I think, would be the short answer. I guess maybe a year and a half ago, picked up some tweet that Russell Brand had tweeted about a website called Reality Sandwich. And I had never read anything about that website before. And so I went there and then instantly became sort of like fascinated with everything that was going on in that world, as one does. And kind of devoured everything. And that led me to just different writers and thinkers. And I think I was particularly sort of into the writings of Jason Horsley at the time. And I was really following his blog and like just sort of following his train of thought. And I think he had done a podcast with Alan Abadesa Green at some point, and that sort of led me onto Alan's blog, and then that sort of jumped me around, and finally I was just kind of like, I think it was around the time the second Sync book was being published, so I just bought both at once and sort of devoured those, and I guess I've just sort of been a fan ever since. It's been about a year. I was going back through my journals like earlier today just trying to when it all started, and it was about a year ago today that I bought the books. Well, not today, sometime this week, a year ago.
But then when you found this, did it seem like you were being programmed by these things, or that you found your people and they were speaking your language?
Are those my only two options?
No, you can have whatever options you like.
No, it was definitely that I had found my people, for sure. I remember I read the first book and I just kind of like, I devoured it, and I was just going through, and I mean, like all my life, I definitely, my sister and I, you know, it was like, we always talk about being in the flow of things, and how it just seemed really uncanny, like at times. And that was always the case all throughout my life. And so when I was reading the Sync books and reading different people's experiences and sort of seeing how people were experiencing synchronicity, it was wonderful. I was like, oh my gosh, this is my life. This is how things happen to me as well. And I never really knew that people acknowledged it or could interact with it in a way that was kind of like really powerful and magical. And I loved that. And it was like immediate afterwards. I remember there was one night I was just staying up all night and I read through to the end of the first book and I had an early morning meeting. It was so surreal. I was driving into, because I live in sort of like 20 minutes outside of downtown Vancouver, so I was driving into town and I was just kind of thinking about all these concepts that I hadn't ever heard anything about, particularly the 42 sink and like Jupiter and all these things. And as I'm thinking about it, I stop at a stoplight and I start paying attention to the radio and the clock says 12:42. And I'm like, haha, that's cute. I was just thinking about 42 sink. And it was like, and then I was paying attention to the song and it was AC/DC's Thunderstruck. And I was like, well, Jupiter's the tie-in and Thor is the god of thunder. And I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. That's really cool. And then right after that, like Clearwater Revival's Who Will Stop the Rain came on. And I remember thinking like, that's really weird. I wonder if the DJ planned like that thematically. And then at that exact moment, I heard a telephone ring and I thought that it was my phone ringing, but it turned out it was just like a, like there must have been a microphone on in the DJ booth or whatever, and the phone is ringing in the studio and it was on the radio. It was, and that was sort of my first initial where I was like, okay, wow, I definitely stepped into something like serious here. It's not just about coincidence. Like this is, it was like a really real cinematic moment for me that I remember quite vividly. That was my very first like intense sync experience.
Huh.
With 42 anyway.
Yeah. As an artist, do you think, I mean, have you always been an artist as a younger person and then in your career, would you say?
Yeah, I think I definitely have always had artistic spirit. I mean, the early years of my life were a little bit of a struggle, so I kind of spent a lot of that time just, I mean, not to sound dramatic, but just like kind of trying to survive life as it was. So I didn't really have an artistic output, as it were.
I'm just wondering about intuition. So that comes up a lot of times with like flow. And so artists, a lot of times I hear that people get the best results by not forcing things. They just let things fall.
Letting it go.
Yeah, and fall into place. And do you find that with your own work? That you can just... things sync up? Oh, I've got this piece of material or that kind of, I mean, is it even like that?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely like that. I mean, yeah, especially in the last year where I think I've been having sort of a different approach to the way that I create in that, I guess I just sort of, at one point, I remember thinking to myself, like, why am I struggling to seek inspiration when I always find it and I always know it's there. So I just kind of need to give up the reins and stop trying to steer the boat, because what's the point? It's going without me. So I need to just kind of like stop and pay attention. And I think that like the frequency has definitely increased as a result. So I kind of made a pact with myself to follow any artistic impulse that comes my way as a result and not necessarily limit it to fashion or my costuming or whatever. Just kind of do whatever thought comes into my head to be an output. I guess to answer your question, I think like if you kind of like give up the reins and you have a sort of like a silence, like if you're not asking questions then you... or seeking things actively, then it becomes a lot easier to sort of hear any little droplet that you need to pay attention to or any little speck of light that you need to see. And that, I guess, for me is sort of the way that I interpret intuition now.
Okay. I'm in more reality terms too. I'm curious about the arc of your business. Have you become a really specific like niche operation for, you know, you're making pieces on commission?
Yeah. So what I do now, like I went to school for fashion design and technology. And then I graduated and I started my line immediately after that. That was my ready-to-wear line. And that was about in 2009. And I was selling at stores here in Vancouver, making everything myself. And I kind of gained a custom client base off of that. And that sort of evolved into doing costuming because the burlesque scene here in Vancouver is huge. And I would even say it's more performance art. It's definitely burlesque, but it's also performance art. So that's what I do exclusively now, actually. I still make clothing. I mean, my clients still ask me to make them clothing that they don't wear on stage, but the majority of what I do with my time is making veils for people to lift and review and toss. Beautiful pieces of clothing that take me months of time to create that they like rip off of themselves within 30 seconds. It's wonderful. Again and again, though, it's not just like one fashion show where it's only on stage for 10 minutes and then that's it. It's kind of beautiful to be able to go out into the city and see your work swinging across stages here and there.
Yeah. And then would you say that what you do is kind of a practice?
It's absolutely a practice. Like in meditation terms?
Yeah,
you mean,
and so our woodcutter carves every single day. It's just part of his life.
Yeah.
Do you find... I'm just curious about how artists work. You know, do you is it like a clock where you show up every day at the same time and you have to sew for 5 hours at least every day, or...
I used to have those kinds of ideas about what it should be like, but I mean, no. I mean, my life is kind of chaotic and has no no schedule to it whatsoever. I'm my own boss and I work alone. Like, I still do all my own pattern work, cutting, sewing, finishing. The design process is definitely always a collaboration with the artist. Which is part of what I love. I love that it's not this abstract thing where I'm just making patterns and sending it off to to a factory somewhere where they're reproducing things and just selling it aimlessly. Like, I'm actually working with artists, with dancers who are trying to convey something and tell stories, and it's just like this really personal, amazing thing.
And you're working with their bodies specifically.
Exactly. Yeah. So nothing I create is ever the same size. Everything is always different. It's always new. It's really kind of amazing. I think that when I graduated, I definitely had like ideas of what I thought that my fashion career should be. And I didn't think that it would end up being like, so closely tied to the original craft of sewing and all of that and still using my own hands. But, you know, I'm in this really unique position to be able to do it. So, and Vancouver's been so good to me, and I don't know why I would ever, like, question it at this point. You know, like, this is definitely where I am and what I'm supposed to be doing, because every time I do it, it just gets better, and people respond really well to it. They love that. I love being a part of something that's more than just, like, what I'm doing as well, you know? Like, I think if I wasn't working with artists, like, other artists as well, it wouldn't be as meaningful to me to just sit here and do it for myself. It doesn't really matter as much. I think... I don't know, maybe I'm just romanticizing myself in the sense that, like, if I didn't have burlesque costuming, maybe I'd be off somewhere painting or writing or something, like, whatever. This is what I do, and I love it, so I'm here. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, but then at the same time, it's the same language. It's just how are you, you know? So
exactly. Yeah, the output doesn't necessarily matter. It's just... And that's kind of what I've come to realize, too. Like, it doesn't matter as long as you're doing it, as long as you're doing something.
There's got to be a language. So your dresses are beautiful.
Thank you.
But as far as, like, a language of color or a language of shape, you know, and then if it's real specific, if you're, you know, if it's burlesque and it's all teasy, then, you know, I guess that's more specific, too.
It is teasy. I mean, burlesque, well, that's a whole nother topic of conversation. I'm not a dancer, but I know just from the women and men that I work with, at least in Vancouver, it's definitely more than just the tease. Like, it's definitely become this performance art thing. Like, it's a whole evolution of burlesque as an art form that's happening right now as well, and I feel really like awesome to be included and a part of that evolution stylistically and visually as well. I think people are responding to my creations for that reason, because there's definitely a shift happening within that scene. And I don't know, it is kind of unique within the, I mean, as in terms of what I bring to the table is definitely like an edgier, more fashion forward, coming from a place of high fashion couture rather than nostalgic 1940s ball gown that's easily removed kind of thing. But I really make, as far as burlesque costuming goes, like I said, it's always a dialogue with the artist. So it's really a reflection of them filtered through me. It's not necessarily, it's not like I sit here and sketch, you know, costumes that I wish would be in existence. When I get creative inspiration and I want to, when I get creative inspiration fashion wise, it's usually time to do a fashion show. And I do that like once every 2 years or something. I just did Magic Queendom, which was my second self-produced collection ever this year. I did it in April. So that's kind of how I show off when I'm like, hey, this is my vision for things. But most of the time it's a reflection of the artist I'm working with too.
And so you're making a living doing this. Do the dancers have to have real jobs?
Well, I mean, okay. Well, if we're talking money, that's a different thing. I definitely have other work that I do that's not related to burlesque that helps pay for my living, for sure. I'm not like exclusively living off of my burlesque work, not at all. Because they are working artists. So yeah, of course, most of them have some jobs, and some of them are working artists. And they do it full time in some form, whether they're teachers, they run studios, yeah, they dance, all those kinds of things. It's all related to body and movement kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's a nice little tangent there. So body and movement. And oftentimes one of the questions that arises is, how come there aren't as many females in sync?
Right. Interesting. Is that a question that often arises?
Well, after we do too many dude shows, it's like dude after dude, and it's like, wait a minute, what is?
I have thought that myself, actually.
So, and one of the hypotheses is that perhaps ladies are able to get in touch with this stuff more intuitively in their bodies, and they don't need to intellectualize it in books and that kind of creative way, you know, like the blogs and that kind of stuff, and like fanboy nerdy dissection of movie stuff, that they can get it in yoga, and they have a similar community and stuff.
Interesting. I never really thought about it that way. So you're saying that
it's right brain, left brain, or yin and yang.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think that like sync is a very specific thing. Like it, I don't know. That was a big sort of question that you posed, but I'm just thinking like, it's a very specific thing. It's not just, I mean, because I have artistic output in lots of other ways, but I still found myself here. Like with this sort of, I mean, you could call it an obsession, but I don't know. It's just, you know how people always say, like, you can find it in anything if you're looking?
Yes.
Well, that's not, like, I don't necessarily think that's true. Like, I think it does actually hit you in very, like, blatant, specific ways that, like, I don't know. I live in a really contained kind of environment. Like, when I'm at home, the way my husband and I both work at home, and we both work for ourselves, so we have this weird lifestyle that's like very binge and purge. Like we'll be home for 3 months and we'll work every day in some fashion or another. Like we don't take weekends, and then we'll leave and we'll travel for a long period of time. So like,
which you just did.
I just did. Yes. It was so epic. Anyway, my whole point is to say that, like I'm not actively, like I don't necessarily sit down and watch movies and search for sync. I will be literally finishing a costume and then driving to, this one was so good. I finished, so the last major costume I finished before I left for my vacation was for one of my very best friends. She was competing for Queen of Burlesque. It was very tongue-in-cheek. Miss Exotic World in Las Vegas. And I did her costume naturally, and it was this very like epic thing. I hand painted it, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I finished it, and I was driving into town to drop it off to her. And all along the way, it was like every car in front of me's license plate had like some 42 in it somewhere. Like, I couldn't avoid that. Like, I'm not necessarily looking for it. It's following me. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, because it's followed me my whole life.
Like, okay, that's really interesting. It's a new thing for me.
But so I looked into it to try and understand why 42 for me, and it makes sense. But I guess everyone has to look into their own.
Right, like how it makes sense for them, and like personally.
Right.
I've heard you say before that you think it's really personal for everyone, and that it's always. Like, no matter what sync trip you're on, it's always a reflection of whatever your personal journey is. And I totally agree with that. I mean, I don't think it could be any other way. But I think it's really interesting that it's the same thing. Like, one car pulled in front of me and the license plate literally said ALL424. I had to resist the urge to roll up next to the car, roll down my window, and be like, excuse me, sir, have you heard the good word of synchronicity? Because otherwise, give me your car. That's rad. I don't know. Like, and I feel so thankful sometimes that I have a phone that I can take photos with, because otherwise, I would just think I was hallucinating. Like, sometimes it's just so insane the way that it happens. So, I mean, to go back to what you're saying, like how some people funnel their artistic energy out through their body or whatever. Yeah, that's great. Like, I also have a million different ways that I funnel artistic energy, but I'm still seeing the very blatant signs popping out in front of me, which isn't always the case for everyone. I don't know how that's tied to male and female gender things, so I don't know how to answer your question.
It could be irrelevant. I mean, for all we know, that everyone's called.
Dude.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but that leads me to think about sync threads and developing a sync thread. And so I oftentimes say that it's a individual thread that you're, and definitely I'm all about the book I'm reading or the thing that I'm drawn to somehow is compelling me in that direction to answer the next question that I may or may not know about. Right. So things are blossoming, and if I stay in the flow, and it's nice because it's more grounded. When it first started, it was not, I mean, it felt so frenetic, and it was like I was a junkie, a numinosity junkie, where I wanted more and more and more and more. And so I put my wife through hell. We watched so many bad movies to try and keep up.
Speaking of bad movies, I'm on a Transformers now. Oh, it's intense.
Right, but then I also want to acknowledge that there's also a collective dream, and so I think Will has a tendency to read something that he's seeing that might be more of a collective sync for. You know, maybe, I don't know, it seems like sometimes he gets into his track and he's really single-minded to purpose and he's following his thread because the one thing, you know, so he's watching the next movie, and for him it's definitely movies. But then someone like Alan is more about this archetypical mythological structure. And it is something that arises and continually arises. So, you know, that's why he's interested in JFK and Osama bin Laden and 9/11. Right. And so it's all these things are really interesting to me because I'm interested in the idea of this as a bigger thing. And all these.
Agreed.
Yeah. And so tell me about your threads.
Well, it's really new for me. Like, I'm just putting the pieces together. Actually, so just over vacation, it finally inspired me to start a blog. So I got my little blog name, and I'm working on my first piece, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be called The Mentalist, The Magician, and The Transformer. And it's like all about the last major sync wave that I had, which was this crazy magic show that I attended and how it kind of like, I don't know, linked into lots of things. So all the things. But I don't know. I think like for me, like it always comes like my most intense sync moments always come before, during, or after some creative inspiration or some creative output. So I always kind of link it to joy and like, and happiness and creation and just letting things flow through you. And I think that's sort of what my Transformers kick is too right now, because I think as artists, I mean, we're like the ultimate Transformers. We funnel in sort of energy that's very like esoteric and non-tangible, and then we filter it out into something very physical that also creates change and affects people in different ways, or doesn't, depending on if you're riding that frequency.
When you're watching the Transformers, what are you seeing? Are you...
Okay. First of all, transform and roll out is the best motto ever. I think that it is the answer for what we should do always. I don't know how I got started on it, because my husband was nostalgic about Transformers. He watched it when he was little and he was like, hey, we should watch these movies. And I was like, this does not sound like a movie you could pay me to watch. I don't want to do it. Please don't make me. And then one night we couldn't decide on any other film to watch, so we watched the first Transformers movie. I forgot what sort of got me hooked about it, but I ended up sitting through like the first three remakes, like the Michael Bay movies or whatever, and there were just a few things, I mean, and this is recent, this is like this year, like January, February time, and there were a few things that kind of caught my eye, and it's like, that's kind of stinky, I wonder what's going on here. Like, I should pay closer attention to this. Let's watch the original series. Like in the second, for instance, in the second movie, this is the only thing that I remember right now. The director of the CIA, who's played by Frances McDormand, I think. She's in charge of the CIA, and she's carrying an emerald green Kelly bag, and it just reminded me of like Hermes Trismegistus and the emerald tablet, and it's the Hermes emerald green Birkin bag. I don't know. Anyway, so I was like, that's really interesting. And there was a bunch of other things. The robots ended up in Egypt, like between pyramids and all these things. So I was like, okay, I want to watch the original series and see what's going on here. And I remember watching the very first pilot episode. And you know how they're always drawn really crude, like the pilot episodes, animation tends to be a little bit more crude than the rest?
Sure.
So the Autobots, in like one of the first scenes are rolling through, and the only numbers that you could see on the cars, one number is a 2 and one number is a 4. And I was like, all right, I'm hooked. So that's kind of what got me hooked on it. And I don't know, how can you not love Optimus Prime? He's the ultimate good guy. He's the best. And the new movie was amazing. Have you seen it?
No.
I'm going to go off for like 5 minutes. Just maybe won't even take that long. So there's so many levels going on in the new one.
Somebody recently did all three movies synced up together. These dudes watched all three simultaneously on three screens.
No way.
Yeah. It's on YouTube somewhere. I think Jake Kotza posted it. And it's really interesting because on one level they're doing sync, but on another level they're also showing this Mill Bay narrative structure where certain things happen at the same time in all the movies pretty much. But there's the other interesting thing was the guys were picking up, they were watching this on like syncy things where, you know, look, he's asking the question here, and then this question is being answered over here. You know, like that kind of thing.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I knew. I had an intuition about it, but I'm not. I don't know. I don't know all of the sync link things, but.
Do you think it's prompting you to chase like actors into other things, or are you pretty happy in this universe? Like, just the Transformer universe is kind of, you can,
it's just the mythos and archetype of the Transformers in general. I'm pretty happy with that. I'm more of a generalized person than a specific thing, but who knows where it goes. That's just where I'm resting right now. I mean, for instance, in the new one, like, I enjoyed the fact that it was, like, self-aware in a lot of ways. The main character finds Optimus Prime, like, it's post the alien wars in Chicago, and nobody wants aliens on the planet anymore, so the Autobots are in hiding, and everyone thinks Optimus Prime is dead, and they go into this abandoned theater, and I swear, well, I don't know, I only saw it once, so I'm not going to swear it's a movie theater, but we'll just say it's definitely a theater, an old abandoned theater, and Optimus is poking through the stage there, and this old, I mean, the main character guy is this tinker who collects junk and wants to make it work again, so he asks how much for the croc and takes him home, and it turns out to be Optimus Prime. And then, get this, so one of the very first things, and I love the fact that the main character, they have this whole Einstein versus Frankenstein theme going on, and like, what technology should we invent, and is it even, should we even question whether or not we should be inventing technology, and just like all these themes going on that I think are just really perfect for right now. I mean, the movie's called Age of Extinction. It's really good. It's really obvious. It's not incredibly deep, but there's so much other bullshit.
When you started into it, did you think this is, you, how did you, I mean, like, how, I mean, so do you think I would like the Transformers if I watched it?
I keep getting this question because people keep looking at me the way that I looked at Andy when he asked me to first watch it. I don't know, man. You have to watch it yourself and see if you like it.
Okay. So what is your first blog piece going to be about Transformers? No, you said it's about sinks that you found on your, let's talk about your trip. What did you see on your trip from a sink point of view? Did you bump into sinks? Like,
well, yeah. Okay. So my very first thing, my very first sink thing, we were flying from New York to Oslo on the brand new Norwegian Dreamliner planes. And the in-flight magazine had the DeLorean, like an article. The article is called The Car That Was the Future, The Amazing True Story of the DeLorean and Its Unlikely Comeback. And I'm like, that's amazing. I would love to read that article. And so I flipped through, and the article starts on page 42. And I lost my shit. Because it was sort of the first time that I had ever seen 42 and Transformers. I'm classifying the DeLorean as a Transformer, and time travel all in one. And I guess time travel is another thing that I sort of have been picking up on. Not necessarily travel, but maybe just sort of non-linear ways of thinking about time, which is sort of a meditation that comes to me more through dreams. So I'm going to get full crazy on you. Occasionally, I have future people that come and visit me in random dreams. So anyway.
And do you know what we were talking about today, this morning?
No, I don't. But I want you to tell me.
That UFO abductees are actually just being visited by people from the future.
From my point of view, I don't even remember when these dreams started, and they're not even like reoccurring dreams. It's more just like snippets within dreams that's reoccurring. So I remember a while ago, a couple of years back, I had a dream. It was like one of those, you wake up, go to the bathroom, go back to sleep, hazy morning kind of dreams. And I was in the back of a car, or what I thought was a car, going across a bridge that looked like it was hovering over clouds. And I was sort of understanding people telepathically communicating with me. And so I woke up and I remember telling Andy, like, hey, I just had this really cool dream. I was like with aliens in the back of this car. And he was like, yeah, yeah. Like, he always does. Oh, poor husband. And then ever since then, it kind of evolved into, like, I'll be having a dream where it's just a random situation, and then a rift in space will just happen near me somewhere, and everything kind of freezes or kind of fades and fogs out. People in my dream continue talking and everything, but I'm fully aware of what's going on. And the last one, I don't remember when it happened, but it was like two future human people we were talking. And so I said, hey guys, I can hear you and see you, what's going on? And they're like, nothing. I'm like, how come I can't understand what you're saying? And they're like, oh, it's future speak, don't worry. Which is really funny, because we were having a conversation of understanding and then also saying, I don't understand what you're saying. So it doesn't make much sense. But anyway, that's my whole meditation on time travel and thinking about things non-linearly. I don't know. Are you telling me that I'm abducted by aliens in my sleep?
No, no.
Okay, that's good.
I wouldn't want to put that into anyone's head, because it's super freaky.
Thanks. Thanks.
No, it sounds more like lucid dreaming. In the book that I'm reading right now, we had a guest on, and that was one of the things that the characters do, where they, and this was the interesting twist, is so lucid dream, you think you control your dream, you do whatever you want to do, and it sounds like that's mm-hmm. what you're doing. But in this book, the characters are not only lucid dreaming, but they're meeting up in the dream space together. Kind of like an Inception.
Ooh, like Unimatrix Zero in Star Trek?
I haven't.
Are you a Trekkie?
No.
So in there's a species called the Borg, and they're all connected.
Sure. I'm Trekkie enough to know
that.
Yes.
So the way that, so it's all hive mind mentality. They don't have their own thought. They function as one unit. But there is a special dream space in which they go called Unimatrix Zero, where they can...
Say that again?
They call it Unimatrix Zero, and it's where they go to interact as individuals in this separate, I guess, lucid dream kind of place. Like, while they're regenerating, they can go there, and the rest of the collective doesn't know they're there, but they have identity there. They have individuality.
Is where we're at right now Unimatrix Zero?
I think so.
I think so, too.
We're definitely there. Oh, so the really fun thing that I... Okay, this was mean. So right after we saw the new Transformers movie, I was so excited and on such a high. Like, I left the theater and was like, I want to go back. And there hasn't been a movie like that in a while that I wanted to go see again. And mind you, the movie is 3 hours long. So Andy was like, how about we go home and we can watch the original Transformers movie, the animated one, which I have not seen and haven't even finished all of the animated series. I'm just through the first 2 seasons. So I'm like, okay, great. Really tragic, spoiler alert, Optimus Prime dies in the animated film. I was so upset and angry because I've only loved him for 3 or 4 months now of my life, and people have had decades to live with him. So anyway, the really fun thing about the animated movie was, I remember after watching the first 3 movies thinking that it was sort of a precursor to the Matrix trilogy. Like, if the Decepticons had come and won planet Earth and taken all of our resources and started using humans as energy, doesn't that kind of sound like what happens with the AI in the Matrix movie?
A discussion I hear where they start tracing evolution through a whole slew of movies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that was just one of the things that I picked up on after I watched the first 3. It reminded me of the Matrix mythos. So then I watched the original animated film, and sure enough, Optimus Prime, when he dies, talks about how, like, you can't really die because there's the Autobot Matrix, which lives inside his heart, so all of the... whatever, there's only an Autobot Matrix. There's no Matrix of Deception, which I thought was really interesting and lovely. I don't know. That's kind of where I am. I haven't finished all the Transformers yet, so I don't know if the Decepticons evolved their own Matrix or whatnot. I don't have answers to all the questions.
Okay. Well, that was 42 minutes. Thank you for sharing it with us.
that went by so fast.
You've been listening to Misty Greer on SyncBook Radio, a production of thesyncbook.com. More information about the work of Mr. Gray can be found on her website, mistygreer.com. For more information about the SyncBook, our guests, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you like the podcast, please support it by becoming a donor. You'll find the donation links under each episode on the website, and consider setting up a monthly charge. Thanks so much, and that's all you really need.